Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE, produced and hosted by John DeSando. The podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
I'm John DeSando.
I'm Beth Miller.
Beth, we have a movie that actually is Netflix. Now, we don't always have a Netflix, but this one is called Jay Kelly. My question for you is George Clooney a good choice for Jay Kelly?
I thought George Clooney was an excellent choice for Jay Kelly.
Why?
Because of his lifetime of interaction with movies, starting at a very young age, all the way up through still acting for, 50 years. So.
And why don't we do that a little later on in the show? I'll try to give some of his filmography. And he is acting along with Adam Sandler. We're obsessed with Hollywood, and the two of us are certainly very interested, and our Uncle Wayne is very interested in movies. Your husband, Tim, not so much. Right,
no, but not so much.
Right. But anyway, so this one, a man who turned 60, what would you say, Clark Gable-ish?
Not at that age, no. I mean, I can think of some older actors, maybe like Harrison Ford, something of that sort.
It's a good choice.
But as far as...
Yeah, he's a little old for that.
He's a little older for that, and he probably doesn't have the demand, but not like the typical George Clooney, Clark Gable type of leading.
What is it about Clooney that's so attractive for a filmmaker?
Well, obviously the physical attraction. I mean, yeah. I think, but the way he has a charisma about him when he interacts, he also seems down to earth, on the characters that he plays that have a connection. Overall presence, yeah, which is like the it factor that's hard to...
And he's from Cincinnati, I think. His dad was a big broadcaster in Cincinnati, yeah. So he has some regional attraction for us. But basically, he's just a really handsome guy who's got the smoothest delivery. And the thing about Clooney is that he's not just an actor. He's a producer and a director. Your point about him being approachable. The one scene is the one on the train for me. Do you remember that one?
Yes, I very much remember the one on the train with all the fans. Right?
I know. Somebody brought up the point that there were no cell phones on that train.
I don't think I've noticed that or not. I know a lot of people.
I didn't either.
I would have expected everybody to pull out their cell phone
yes.
to start video recording him. And I think when he actually leaves the train, I'm not sure if they videotape him at that point, because they do have video later on.
Yeah.
I know in Japan, I think it's a rule that you're not allowed to have your cell phone out. You're not allowed to be talking on the public transportation.
That may be what they were thinking, but it may be so with European. Secondly, I thought artistically, just so that they wouldn't disturb the shot.
Right.
Any others that strike you that show us something about being a star at 60?
I think the same scene that I remembered a lot was when he encountered Timothy after the funeral and he asked to go to drinks. And I think that goes back to when you have a Hollywood star and they're older and they're used to the fame and everyone around them. Maybe they want to reconnect to people that were in their life before they were famous, to try to connect with that time of their life when they were basically more of a normal person.
Yeah, I forgot. Who's playing that?
Billy Crudup.
Yeah, that's right. Boy, he didn't look anything like the Billy Crudup.
No, I'm used to having his dark black hair, and I was shocked when I had to look it up. I was like, who is this guy? He looks so familiar, and then I realized who it was.
The fisticuffs that evolved from their coming together were a little bit shocking, I thought. They actually got into a fight.
Right, I thought that was very odd, but I think he was at the point where George Clooney character wants to reconnect with who he was before he got famous and wants to have those interactions with people that may have truly valued him as a person and not just look at the stardom. It was a shocking moment for him when he realizes this person is not who he thought he was, and he has these negative feelings for him and basically just says, I can't stand you. I think it was a shock to Jay Kelly at that point, and he probably just had like a snapping moment, and that's why it came out into a physical altercation.
Beth, beside the almost cliches about Hollywood stars, and it's probably because they are true, to get all of this fame and all this fortune, and they're going to question the time they spent doing that.
Right.
And it always comes down to family. And the same thing in the Marvel universe. They're always looking for their kids. They're looking to connect with family. How about here? Does the same thing happen here?
The entire movie is about the choices that you make, whether it's professional life or family, and you always seem to want to connect back to family, because when everything else is gone and everything else fails, you still have family who are part of your life, usually before the fame hit. And so you have more of a realistic relationship with them, something that's not built on fame. The movie can resonate with, obviously it's a cliche for actors who get famous, questioning those who are around them, whether they have true intentions and whether they're just after them for fame and what they can get. But I think that the regret you may have and look back how much time you've spent in your career versus putting it on family, it makes you question your own choices.
Oh, me too. What do you think? There's no price to be paid?
I think there's always a price to be paid.
And to pursue, which he does, pursue his career at the loss of being with his kids, that to me seems incalculable. It seems like such a sadness that the one important thing in your life, which at least for us, is family, is that not to have that, you can't buy that. You can't get that back.
And he has that struggle at the very end where he tries to all of a sudden connect with both daughters, going and visiting a daughter at school all of a sudden, showing up at his daughter's trip. I mean, you can't just create that relationship at the end of time at the last second. But they also show in the movie that if you really want to make the time and the effort, you can preserve it and have both things. Like with the other actor, Ben Alcott, who also gets the secondary tribute. And Adam Sandler's character talks about how he would go back every week and fly back to see his family. And when he shows up at the tribute, he has like his uncles, his cousins, his wife, his kids. He has entourage of 20 people with him. And then we have George Clooney's character.
Played by Patrick Wilson, right?
Right, Patrick Wilson. He's an amazing actor as well. It's like star-studded cast in this film.
Yes. So I thought Wilson was a good choice somehow.
I thought he was a very good choice.
Yeah.
He was a very good choice.
I mean, we all know him from those horror movies.
Yes, from the Conjuring series.
And so he's a familiar face, nice face,
right,
that goes for what you were talking about, that is attached with family. And it's a good contrast,
right,
between his entourage, which is family, and then Clooney. I love that line that occurs more than once. When he's alone, he talks about being alone, and the daughter says, "You're never alone." Well, and then Silvano, whoever it is,
hands him the drink. And he's like, "Here you go." And it just proves his point. Like, you can't even sit down, and somebody's bringing you a drink the moment you sit down. Like, you're never alone.
So is there anything, Beth, in this film that didn't ring true to you?
I don't know. I don't think there's anything in the film that didn't ring true to me. It's the overall, the fame and the disconnect that probably these Hollywood actors have with reality, trying to, like at the scene on the train, I think it has the difference between what reality is. When he's in an acting class and they have the flashback and they talk about the hardest acting job you will have, like, is being your character and also being yourself.
Yes, right.
Like with the Hollywood stars, they are on all the time,
yes,
even with public, that they lose who they truly are as a person. So when they're on the train, I feel like he's feeling, I can't connect with my daughters, but I can get this reassurance from the fans. And so he reaches out and wants to make this scene, connect with all these fans and invite them to the tribute to still have that sort of support and connection because he doesn't have it with family. And then, but the only thing that I thought kind of out of touch or unrealistic was when he ran off the train to capture the purse robber. And I think because he was feeling so bad about himself that he needed to do an action to prove that I am a good human being, even though my daughter may say I'm an empty vessel, I'm never alone, and I have no connections. He still needs to prove it to himself. And that's why he goes out of his way and chases this thief, this thief off the train and tackles them. And
I know.
So
I know. There are a couple of good shots. I like the long shots. I like him chasing him. And I also like in the end when he meets his buddy, Billy Crudup. Well, actually, I'm looking at Adam Sandler. That's our transition.
Right.
When he and Sandler are way apart from each other, and it's a long shot, and symbolically, the director here is Noah Baumbach, Greta Gerwig's husband.
Yeah.
The film is Jay Kelly. It's on Netflix, and it's about an aging Hollywood star. It's an easy call. And I wanted us to do it because the first time you and I have been together, and I see that was a good choice on my part.
Thank you for saying that. Let's see what the audience thinks.
So, Beth Miller, it's called Jay Kelly. What do you recommend to our audience? Now, this is a film that they all can see because it's Netflix. So what do you recommend?
I would recommend the film. I see why people are very drawn to the film or think it's a very good film. I think it's very well done. It may not be everyone's cup of tea because I think it can be seen two ways. One is about trying to understand what the Hollywood actors go through with the fame and questioning those around him and the loss of family in order to maintain that fame. But also some could see it as like a narcissistic indulgence of look at the poor actors, everything they've had to give up when they realize,
oh, I'm feeling so sorry for
myself.
You.
Look at all that I gave up, but look what a huge star I am. But also everyday people deal with that as well in their professional careers. They have to make choices and give up time with their family as well. So I think it can be seen as both sides. It is an enjoyable film, and I would recommend seeing it.
Beth, we're talking about Jay Kelly, which is on Netflix, and this is about an aging Hollywood star. You know who interests me? His career interests me, and that's Adam Sandler.
Amazing career.
Yeah. What do you think about him in this one?
I thought he was amazing. This is probably my, you know, other than him voicing, you know, Dracula in Hotel Transylvania, which is, you know, my all-time favorite. This is probably one of my favorite films to see Adam Sandler in. I think he was almost, to me, more of a star in the film. I thought he really stood out for his dramatic performance. It was very believable. I'm not used to seeing him in a lot of dramatic roles. I watched a lot of his films in the beginning, his comedies and on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
But this is probably one of the, you know, I haven't seen a lot of his dramatic film roles, and I thought he was excellent in this role.
The one that I really like of Adam Sandler's, and that's Uncut Gems. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I have not seen that. It's actually on my list now after looking at the career that he's had, and spanning, and the movies that he's done and the awards that he's been nominated for. That actually is on my list to go see Uncut Gems.
Yeah, he is fantastic in this. He plays a loudmouth Jewish jeweler in New York City, and he is just rapid fire. And he's really, really good at it. And I think you're right. You get the athletic business, and he gets that. He's a natural for that. He loves to play basketball and all that stuff. When you get down to the dramatics, that's when you really ask. He underplays in this one. I thought it was very nicely done.
That was really, really well done.
That's the way he's going to have to be if he is manager of a big star, such as Clooney plays in this, such as Jay Kelly. He underplays that, and then he explains it now and then as there's stuff that I do that you don't even know about.
All the work he does behind the scenes in order to save Jay Kelly and advance his career, like getting rid of the lawsuit,
you know,
things that he does to promote him and argue for him to get the part in the upcoming film that he almost doesn't want to do.
I can only imagine the horror show trying to keep up with somebody as famous as that. And I thought that they did a really good job, and that he actually didn't force himself the way he often does.
Right.
He forces himself, just chews up the scenery. Here he doesn't. Laura Dern, I didn't have enough of.
Oh, I love Laura Dern.
I know.
She should have been in that movie way more than she was.
I agree.
I mean, she's an amazing actress. I mean, and I like the character that she played in how she just at the end decides to just up and leave at the last second and leave the train. So.
Yeah, she's the publicist.
Yes, she should have been in that way more in that movie.
I like when there are films about the making of movies. I'm thinking of the most famous one. It's probably Sunset Boulevard, and I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I have not seen that.
Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
I know the famous line and talking about the movie.
But that one is a much seamier side. A fine depiction of a woman who was once a star who is now not. Now, most recently,
Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah. Did you see Brad Pitt?
That is, I love
that.
Well, of
course, you saw Brad Pitt.
Actually, love
Look
that
at
movie.
You.
That's an amazing movie. I mean, just, it's amazing. Like, they tie in the Charles Manson murders and the invasion of the house. But when the scene when they fight back, I mean, it's just, got the flamethrower they bring out and everything. I mean, it's a great movie.
Yeah, it does show you some of the special effects.
Right.
And what they do, which I think is worth seeing.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about that movie. I recommend that to everyone.
And how they changed the Manson business?
Yes, how they changed
Tarantino. Get away with that.
Yeah, exactly. Rather than a slaughter, they fight back and, hitting people in the head with a can.
I know.
Using a flamethrower on them.
I know. Ryan Gosling and The Fall Guy.
I haven't seen that one. That's on my list as well.
He's about a Hollywood stuntman. And there again are some other insights. I'm interested in how they make movies.
Yes.
Beth, I will say how many times this is the most influential art form in the history of civilization.
Yes.
There is no other art form that is as influential as this one is. Now, you may have your special that you really like somewhere, but when you look at it, say how many, traveling around the world, you want to talk about it to people? Talk about movies.
Yes, everybody. There's always some type of movie that somebody has seen.
I know.
Always a topic that's covered that you can bring up and address. And that's whenever I meet a new person, the first thing I always talk about. So what movies have you seen?
Yeah, that's right.
You get to know a person by the type of movie that they actually like and what they say.
And if it's an American movie, most of them know American movies.
Yes.
So you can start off that way. So that's exactly what I'm talking about, being influential and going way back in a different way, the Blair Witch Project.
Yes, love the Blair Witch Project. It was one of the first self-documentary type of, you know, found footage type of movies.
Yes.
It was groundbreaking.
Yes.
Even with the low budget, I think of like $66,000 or whatnot. I mean, it captivated everybody at that time.
I know.
And basically launched a whole new genre of movies of this found footage that, you know, these inexpensive movies can be made on your own home movie, and you just advertise it as a found footage movie, and it makes its way on. And it's a way to connect when it's a found footage. I think those are very interesting because it's done by the characters themselves, and it's more like a real life setting versus them playing a character.
It's an introduction for people who don't know what it means to make a movie on the very lowest level, because current now, 10, 15 years later, everybody's making movies.
Everyone.
Yeah.
You can use your iPhone to make a movie. I mean, everybody can make a movie, and everybody can do found footage. You know, when you do the found footage, you don't have to worry about hiding the lights and hiding the cameras, hiding the extras. Everything's in the film. So, it's anybody can do it.
I think we've dropped that motif somewhat.
Yes.
The found footage, because they just way overdid it.
It is way overdone, but there are plenty of movies on Netflix and Prime of found footage. If you're looking ever for the horror genre, which is my favorite, there was always tons on there.
All right, Beth, two others that I really like recently. The first one would be La La Land. I'll recommend it. It's a musical.
Yes.
And it's also about two people trying to break into the business.
And is that Emma Watson?
It sure is. Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
Her first Oscar.
Ryan Gosling, yes. Right, yeah. I know there's a scene that's very popular that they, like, on a bench talking. And
oh, yeah, they're up on the observatory in L.A. And beautiful, really lovely. And also The Fablemans. That would be the early youth of our great, great director. I knew you'd be perfect. Beth is an attorney.
You had to make your choices. You had to select family and watching movies or going to work.
So. I've heard there are starving attorneys, but I'm sure I'm not looking at one. So
unfortunately. No, I'm not.
And so that's pretty much the ones. Can you think of any others in which they depict the making of movies, because I find it an interesting subject?
I can't think of off, other than the ones we've discussed, especially Upon a Time in Hollywood, that talks about the making of a film. You know, there's always characters and stuff in certain movies where their job is a screenwriter or their job is an actor, but not necessarily the making of a film.
Yeah. I also wanted to mention for our director, Noah Baumbach, who is married to Greta Gerwig, who made a boatload of money on Barbie.
Oh, yes.
With his help, I don't doubt.
Right.
And he's also done Frances Ha with Her, which is a small comedy, and The Marriage Story, which came out a few years ago. And it was also have George Clooney. He had some that didn't always make it. He had several nominations.
Yes.
But he had some like Monuments Men in 2014, which really didn't make it.
Didn't do that well.
No. Midnight Sky.
Right.
Got a raft of good movies that he's been in. He won his first Oscar that he shared with a couple of other people, including with Ben Affleck. Argo, which won.
Yes.
He was a producer.
That was a great movie.
Yeah. Another one, The Descendants, he was nominated for Best Performance by an Actor. And this is trying to connect with his two daughters again.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
It's such a motif. I have a few daughters.
Yes.
And I'm always trying
to connect. As they get older, it seems to be harder.
Tell you one that I came across recently on Netflix called Good Night and Good Luck, the film about Edward R. Murrow facing off the senator and those witch trials that they were looking for communists.
Oh, yes.
So he continues to be just really active. And he won his Oscar for Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role. Syriana.
He's one of those actors that even if he has, like, one that doesn't perform well, he can always come back. He can always come back and have a great, great, successful movie.
Yeah.
He's just a phenomenal actor. And I really enjoyed the tribute at the end of this movie because of all the clips.
Yeah.
They were from his movies he's actually done.
Good point,
To show the star of that he was from very young.
Yeah.
The clips from all these movies. It really is like a tribute to George Clooney at the end. Not just the character of Jed Calley, but you can see all the filmography and all the roles that he's played over his career.
And I had to jog myself because when I first heard of Jed Calley, I said, oh, well, he must be directing it. Clooney must be directing it. He said, Noah Baumbach is. So Noah Baumbach asked him to star in this movie, which takes a little bit of the edge off on the vanity of the whole project. But anyway, yes, you and I both agree. Being second class on that train.
Yes. There's no first class. Where's first class? You know, they have no idea. And they're living with the regular folk and intermingling and walking through. So.
And Sandler's trying to tell this guy who doesn't speak English, I have this famous star. Do you have a private place for him?
No.
And then
nothing.
You get with all the people who really are fine, just a fine piece. All right, Beth Miller, it's been a delight to have you, and we know or hoping that you'll come back. But the movie is Jay Kelly. It's on Netflix. What do you recommend at this time of year? Now, we're starting to get good films. So what do you suggest about this for a family, for instance?
I recommend the film. Like I said, it's a very good film. It may not be everyone's cup of tea, and someone may have a different view on, you know, the take of it, be it feeling sorry for the Hollywood aging actor versus being, you know, narcissistic and how everything revolves around them. But I highly recommend the film. I think it's very well done. It's a star-studded cast. I mean, there are a number of stars in this. Even if they don't have big parts, they have small, important roles.
Yes.
Like the one actress who plays Daphne, his co-star. I think that's Bono's daughter, is it? Eve?
Oh.
Who's Houston, or I believe her name is.
Oh, all right.
She's amazing, and she's been in other films that I've seen. So I think I highly recommend it. It's an enjoyable film, though it is kind of sad, I would say, kind of overall. Makes you reflect on your own life, if you're an older individual, what you've invested in your career versus putting into your family.
That's an important point about this movie. You don't have to love movies to see this movie.
No.
It is about pursuing your career and the choices you make and the sacrifices that you will make if you're going to pursue something, particularly high-end, like this. It's done without overdose of sentimentality. And any father in the audience who has smart daughters would have to say, yeah, it's all the same. It doesn't make any difference. You're a Hollywood star, a truck driver, you're still going to have a choice. All right, Beth, hope to see you again.
Thanks, Don.
Okay.